Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who has all these questions asked. You know, I got to ask you, what did you do to start your new year? Did you come up with something that would kind of encapsulate, summarize, highlight what you want to do for the year? How many of you decided that you would start out with an important fast? So many people decide they're going to start the new year out fasting, whether they start on day one, day 21, doesn't matter. Start out fasting. Well, our guest, yours and mine, Miss Crystal Smith, who is rejoining me again today, is going to be talking about fasting. Crystal, it's so good to see you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm so happy to be here and starting the year off right.
Definitely. My pleasure to have you, too. So how has the year been going for you so far?
Great. You know, I'm always excited at the beginning of the year. Every new year to me is like a fresh new start. It's just like the breaking of a new day, like the morning. I think it's always a great opportunity for you to start over. One of the things that I believe is that it's never too late to start over. Mm. Every day that God gives you, as long as your heart is beating, you have air in your lungs to breathe, to me, that's God giving you another chance. And for God to give us another year, I think we should always be excited and we should always be hopeful and we should always have a spirit of expectation.
I love that. And I agree with you so much. You know, as a matter of fact, one of the things that I pointed out to the listening community a few weeks ago was, hey, look, new year. I know a lot of us brought some challenges from the previous year into this new year, but did you also bring hope into the new year?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's not just about the challenges and whatever made last year maybe at times unpleasant. It's about hope for maybe something better in this new year.
Yes, and I think as believers, we should always have hope no matter what you're going through, no matter what you had to go through in 2018. I like to say that you have to pronounce a benediction on your past. Mm. You have to pronounce a benediction over what happened last year. It's over, and you don't have to repeat the same cycles. This is a new year, and it's a perfect opportunity for you to just put the past behind you and say, I have hope that this year is going to be better than last year.
And we have someone to help us make it better.
Absolutely.
Our creator, God himself.
Yes, we should never be in a state of hopelessness because we walk by faith and not by sight. So if your situation looks bad, it doesn't matter how it looks. What does your faith tell you? What do you believe? What did God say? So I have a smile on my face today, not because everything's going right in my life. You wouldn't believe how many things are not going right in my life. Mm-hmm. If you could see my life, the back behind the scenes, there are so many things that I'm praying for that I have not seen the manifestation of. But I can smile because I know that I have hope. Because God is going to work it out because he promised that he would.
And he is a God who knows how to fulfill his promises.
Yes, he is.
That is awesome. So hope, it should reign eternal in our hearts and in our minds. It keeps us going, like you say, and expectation and energy, because we should be energized because of what we hope for, what we're expecting, knowing that we don't have to rely just on ourselves to make things happen.
That's right. And you know, a lot of people dealt with depression during the holidays. Mm-hmm. And some people are still dealing with depression because of their finances. We were speaking earlier about how this shutdown, the government shutdown, is affecting so many people. Mm-hmm. But today I really want us to talk about how prayer and fasting can help those who are being affected because of the government shutdown, as well as different areas in their financial situations.
Which are definitely, for some people, getting rougher and rougher. And the longer this goes on, and I think it's good that people can see that there is a relationship between what's happening in our lives spiritually and what's happening in our lives materially. And I mentioned, you know, I asked that question at the beginning. How many of you decided to start the year out with a fast?
Yes.
And so what are your thoughts about fasting, and particularly starting to fast out at the beginning of the year?
Well, fasting is something that really excites me because I truly believe in the outcome of fasting, and I truly believe in the power of fasting and what God does inside of you as well as in your external life in fasting. So one scripture that I really love is Isaiah chapter 58.
Oh, yeah.
And starting at verse 3, and this is from the King James Version, it says, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all of your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." And this is the part I like right here. Verse 5 says, "Is it such a fast?" And those of you who are just now tuning in, this is Isaiah 58, verse 5. "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" So I truly believe that fasting is powerful because God sees your sacrifice, and God honors sacrifice. God honors you taking the time to sacrifice things that are important to you. So fasting is all about what's in your heart and what is important to you. And when you fast, you're not just fasting from food, you are fasting and praying. So fasting is a form of prayer. It is a way that you connect with God. And one of the things that is said in the scripture in verse 4 is not to make your voice to be heard on high. So when we fast, we really should not go around telling people, "I'm fasting, I'm fasting, I'm giving up meat, I'm giving up sweets." I mean, if you have an accountability partner, that's okay. But if you are truly making a sacrifice for God to see, for God to move in certain areas of your life, it's not something that you should boast about. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you have to announce and let everyone know that you're doing. It's a personal and private sacrifice that you're making to God. And you're saying, "God, I need you to move in this area of my life. So it's so important to me that I'm willing to make a sacrifice." And if we look in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, we see where the children of God made a sacrifice and offered sacrifices to God. God honors sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the New Testament, we see the ultimate sacrifice that God made when he gave up his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, as an offering for our sins. So sacrifice is so important to God. So whether you're fasting food or whether you're fasting something else, you may fast from television, you may give up social media for a certain amount of time, you may just give up sweets, or you may say for 21 days, "I'm just going to drink water. I'm going to eat my normal diet, but I'm going to sacrifice drinking sodas and sweet tea and lemonade, and I'm just going to drink water." Mm-hmm. God knows what is a sacrifice to you. So,
you know, and I think that's such an excellent point. And you pointed out this whole issue of expecting our voices to be heard on high. And I was looking at that, Crystal, and it that caught my attention, too. He talked about the fasting that they would do, but all the other stuff they would do while they were fasting, exploiting workers, fighting, quarreling, and letting them know, as long as you're doing all of this other stuff during the fast, do you really expect me to hear your prayers while you're fasting and you're doing this?
Wow. That's good. That is true. And it also talks about how you shouldn't walk around with your head held down and making it seem like, oh, I'm just going through all this fast. It's just so hard. No, this is an intimate time of communion between you and God. And we should really be excited because we believe God is going to move on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So if you're going on a 21-day fast, you should be excited that at the end of these 21 days, I cannot wait to see what God is going to do. Yeah. I cannot wait to see how God is going to answer my prayer, because he promised that he would always do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Yes, indeed. And I appreciate you for starting the conversation out with this particular passage of scripture, because again, what you read to us, isn't this, verse 6, the kind of fasting that I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice.
Yes.
To untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free.
Mm-hmm.
God is letting us know that while it's important that, as you mentioned, we fast when there are certain needs that we need to have met, he's letting us know that there are times when we need to fast for other people's benefit as well.
Yes, and I truly believe during this season of our nation, what we're going through, so many people are unhappy with our leadership. And we talk, we have conversations, but we really need to pray for the condition. It's one thing to be angry, rightfully so, because of the injustice that we see in our community. And we should take action. We should definitely take action. There are things that we can physically do, but we can never neglect the spiritual aspect and the power of God. And that God has all power, but we have to partner with God.
Yeah.
We are the hands and feet of God. And we are his vessels. So God chooses to use us as conduits for his power and his ability. And there's another example in the Word of God in the book of Esther. We see in Esther chapter 4 where God placed Esther in a position to be queen in a pagan nation. And she was of the people of God. And when there was injustice going on in antiquity, Esther told the children of God to go on a fast for 3 days.
Yeah.
And this was powerful because after those 3 days, God moved on her behalf and he answered her prayers. And many times God will choose believers and he will put us as believers in different situations and in different environments where you may be the only believer on your job. You may be the only believer in your family. You may be the only believer or Christian in a particular environment, but God has given us the power to fast and pray and see God work and see God move and see God bring about change. So in our country today, we know that there are many people who are being furloughed. And I saw someone wrote a quote the other day that said, there are people working, still going to work, not getting paid. And that really sounds a lot like slavery. When you're working and not getting paid, that's slavery. So that's bondage. And so we have to fast and pray that God would deliver people from bondage.
Because at the very least, that is bondage. And it is. I was thinking the same thing a little earlier just today. That is tantamount to slavery. Now, they may not have them in that position permanently. And for some, there's some hope that eventually that situation is going to change. But, of course, even for slavery, eventually the situation changed. But for now, to have people working without pay, And some of them will never be compensated financially for the work that they will have been doing.
Yes, and just for the listeners, the scripture in Esther is Esther 4 and verse 16. And starting at 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer in verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Esther had to go before the king. She had to go before leadership. She had to go before the government. But she needed the people of God to pray for her. And that's what we need today. We have someone that's in leadership. And because of his decisions and because of his actions, we see the results. So we may not be able to walk into the White House. Or we may not be able to walk into Congress or the House of Representatives, but we can go before God and we can fast and pray.
And we need to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, yours and mine, Crystal Smith, and I will be right back.